Okay, so we'd like to thank Karen and Jake Abelovitz for sponsoring this morning's Lox and Lauren. Le'iloi Nishmas, Jake's beloved parents, Eliyahu ben Abba and Leah, Basa Avram, and Karen's brother Yeshua ben Shimon Dov, the Neshama should have an Aliyah. Okay, so we are up to Avos chapter 3. It's a typo on the top. It's Mishnah 17. Thank you, not 15 and 16. Mishnah 17. And we're moving on from Rabbi Akiva to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. They were contemporaries. They knew each other. The stories in the Gemara that placed them together. We'll see a little bit later on towards the end as to the connection, if there's a connection between this Mishnah and Rabbi Akiva's Mishnayos or previous Mishnayos in general. But let's just start with what Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says. As we read this, we're going to be reminded of Mishnayos from a previous perek, and previous Mishnayos that we've seen that are similar. So we'll have to see, again, it's one of the questions we always ask, is if we've seen a similar concept before, why is there repetition? Is there a nuanced difference between the two? So see if you can remember what we've done in the past. So let's jump in. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah Omer, and I broke it down for you into six different parts to his statement. Im ein Torah, ein derech eretz. If there is no Torah, there is no derech eretz. Sound familiar to anybody? Yeah. What have we seen in the past? Well, derech eretz kabbalat Torah we have not seen in Pirkei Avos. Anybody remember the Mishnah? Ladies, you're not sitting yet. You gotta go on your research, right? So Perek Beis, Mishnah Beis. We were told, Yafe Talmud Torah im Derech Eretz, that it is good to combine Torah and Derech Eretz. So here it's slightly different, im ein Torah, ein Derech Eretz. Not that it's good to combine, but that without Torah there's no Derech Eretz. But we're going to ask the same questions we asked last time. What in the world does Torah mean? Even though it sounds like we know what we're talking about, what does Torah mean? And then Derech Eretz, even the more so, what does Derech Eretz mean? So different Mepharshim are going to tell us different things. But now there's an inverse to this statement. Now that's 1A. Im ein derech eretz, ein Torah. So on the one hand, it's im ein Torah, ein derech eretz, but then we have the inverse of that, or the converse, whichever one is appropriate, if both, I don't know. Im ein derech eretz, ein Torah. Now the Mishnah continues. And we're going to focus on just that one today, but we're going to read the rest just to get a picture of the whole Mishnah. Im ein chachma ein yira. Without chachma, there is no yira. We've had similar Mishnahs to that. Im ein yira, ein chachma. Again, the inverse. Im ein, and as we do it, we'll do in future weeks, we'll have to explain what does chachma mean, even though we intuit that we know what it means, and we'll have to explain what yira means, even though we might think we know what it means. Number three, im ein bina, ein das. Without bina, translated here as understanding, there is no knowledge. And then im ein das, ein bina. Without knowledge, there is no understanding. And then finally, maybe the most famous one, im ein kemach, ein Torah. Why is it famous? That's not because whenever somebody wants to fundraise for a yeshiva, that's what they say. Im ein kemach, ein Torah. We need kemach. We need bread, wheat, metaphor for money. Notice how they don't use im ein Torah, ein derech eretz, ein derech eretz, ein Torah. But either way, assuming derech eretz might mean money as well. But so im ein kemach ein Torah, im ein Torah ein kemach. Okay, so we have four pairs of things that go together, and they both sides need each other. And then he continues, it's the same Mishnah and it's related, so we're just going to read through part of it. I cut out the psukim that he brings as proofs just to save time, because we're probably not going to do this for another few weeks. So look at number five in the same box. Hu haya omer, so he also used to say, somebody whose wisdom is more than his actions. Again, these are topics we've seen in the past. L'mahu doma, somebody who has more wisdom than actions. What's that compared to? L'ilan sha'anaf of merubin v'sharash of me'utin. So it's like a tree who has a lot of branches, but the roots are very few and far between. So what's going to happen if that's you, if that's the tree? So any sort of wind is going to totally flip you over. And so having, what's the message? If you have more wisdom than actions, that's not a good thing. Number six, and then he quotes a pasuk, which again we'll do in the future. Aval, number six, a kol shemas of merubin michachmaso. If you have more actions than wisdom, lamahu doma. What's that similar to? Le'ilan shanaf of mu'atim v'sharash of merubin. So you have firmly established roots, and the branches are not as much. Shafilu kol ruchos shabolam bo'os v'noshos bo, ein mezizin otomim komo. All of the winds in the world, hurricane can come, but you are firmly rooted in the ground. That apparently seems to be what he's recommending, having more ma'asim than chachma. So there's a lot of concepts, a lot of terms, a lot of ideas being floated around here. Today, again, we're going to focus on the first one, im ein Torah, ein derech eretz, im ein derech eretz, ein Torah. So there's not going to be, I know last week I said I always try to have something sort of, you know, different, beyond the norm. I'm not sure if this week is going to be that, and I didn't, last week I tried to force it in and we ended up rushing, and I'm not going to try to do that today. We're just going to try to understand the Mishnah. Is it going to be repetitive to other things? Possibly. Does that matter? Probably not, because it's good chazara anyway, right? But we want to see what does this mean and how does it relate to previous Mishnayos, and is it different? Is there any nuance? Is there any addition to what Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is telling us? So let's jump in. Right, so yeah, definitely that over there it's Yafa Talmud Torah and Derech Eretz, that it's a positive, it's a good thing. There's no converse, there's no that you can't have one without the other. It's just like it's a recommendation. Here he's sort of saying that it has to be. Which actually raises the first question. Does it actually have to be? Right? Is he saying that this is a must? It's impossible to have Torah without Derech Eretz, and it's impossible to have Derech Eretz without Torah.
He's not saying.
Well, we don't know what he's saying. We're assuming that he's not saying that. Why are we assuming that he's not saying that? No, he is saying. You could definitely read this that it's one or the other. It sounds. If anything, I would say the simple reading is that he is saying that without this, right, is not that.
There's no quantitative connection. It's not like if you have zero Torah. Zero Kemah.
So he doesn't qualify. What does he mean? Does it mean 0% on both sides? Okay, so good, right?
We have to define it.
We'll get there. We have to define it, right? But just to point out, as we're about to go through the sources, is he saying these two things must go together? I could definitely read it that way. One of the reasons I might not want to read it that way, depending on how we define it, is, can we find reality that doesn't fit with that? Meaning, are there going to be people who have, however we define Torah, and don't have Derech Eretz, however we define it? And are we going to find people who have Derech Eretz who don't have Torah? And if that's the case, we have to analyze how that works. So let's jump in. Again, all these things, as we go through, we're going to define it. Torah and Derech Eretz are the same. So we'll have to see what Derech Eretz is, and then if it is the same, then you're going to have a problem, because then he shouldn't be saying what he's saying, right? If he's saying they're the same, sounds like he's framing it as two different things that are necessary for each other, but they're not the same. So let's hold off. Let's see how we define the stuff. So let's look at source number one, Rashi. So Rashi says, "Im ein Torah, ein derech eretz, kimo shekasuv." Right. So Rashi tells us, as it is written, la'el. He points us, in case we didn't remember, Yafa Talmud Torah im Derech Eretz. Which is very nice, but he doesn't tell us what he thinks Torah and Derech Eretz are. He just tells us, look at that other Mishnah. So if we're going to do our due diligence, we're going to look at that other Mishnah, and then we're going to also have to see, what does Rashi say about that other Mishnah? So luckily I did the work for us. Look at the second line of source number one. This is Rashi's commentary on Ein Torah, Ein Derech Eretz. Right, sorry, in Yafa Talmud Torah, in Derech Eretz. Now, even further, we didn't mention this yet. Why is it good to combine, according to Mishnah, Parak 2, Mishnah 2, Yafa Talmud Torah, in Derech Eretz, why? Why is it good to combine Torah and Derech Eretz? What does the Mishnah tell us? It's explicitly in the Mishnah. Right, Shiyagiyat Shneya Mishkachas Avon. It's right there in front of you. Rashi quotes it. Is that working hard towards both Torah and Derech Eretz, however we're going to define it, has a functional aspect that it makes us forget sin. Mishkachas Avon. We spent a lot of time analyzing what exactly that means. But just to remember that that's what the Mishnah is talking about. Combining Torah and Derech Eretz together helps us prevent or forget sin. So now Rashi, commenting on that, tells us, again, source number one, second line, Shemitok Shehu Lomeh Ve'osek B'Torah. Because we are learning, and we are involving ourselves, engrossing ourselves within Torah, Uvischora lehisparne. So Derech Eretz is a business, parnasa. Eino chomed v'gozel mamon acherim. So he says that, number one, I'm not going to desire other people's stuff for two reasons, presumably. Number one, let's assume the easy one to explain is that I have money, right? Even though we see people who have money who still desire other people's stuff, so that's not enough. What else do you need? You need Torah, which presumably helps us ethically to figure out that this is not mine, that's theirs, I'm happy with what I have, etc., etc. So learning plus money helps us prevent and forget and not pursue other people's stuff. I won't sin through stealing. Okay, so Rashi understands Torah as learning slash osek. Notice how he says both of those things. Lomed, which is learning, v'osek. What is v'osek? Maybe acting, right? So not just learning, but acting, which will help us with the end of our Mishnah, perhaps, which discusses the connection between learning, chachma, and ma'asim. So notice Rashi here seems to tell us two things, lomed ve'osek. Sometimes we understand osek as just meaning learning. Right? When we say berachas haTorah, we say la'asok v'divrei Torah, so again, there's going to be different commentators on that too, but generally we understand la'asok v'divrei Torah as learning Torah. But here, presumably Rashi doesn't just mean that. We do a close read, because he's telling us lomed ve'osek, unless he's just telling us two versions of the same word, synonyms, which maybe he is. But either way, lomed, you're learning, and perhaps acting through Torah as well. Now, that's Rashi. So we're talking about Derech Eretz is working slash money. Look at Rabbeinu Yonah, source number two. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah Omer, Remain Torah ain't Derech Eretz. Kolomar, Misha eino yodea Torah, eino shalem b'midos shel Derech Eretz. So what are we talking about? Midos. Midos of Derech Eretz. And so this is Derech Eretz, the way we generally use it in our speech. You got to have Derech Eretz. It means you have to behave nicely. So that's how Rabbeinu Yonah understands it. Shalei b'midos shel Derech Eretz. Ki rov midos hatobo sheyesh b'darchei ha'olam b'torahim. Most of the good traits that people need for this world, for interacting with other people, are found in the Torah. Kimo. Now notice, he's about to give us examples. But if you want to do a really close read, what does he say? Ki rov midos hatobos sheyesh b'darchei ha'olam. The majority, which might be opening up some wiggle room for some midos that are necessary for this world that are not in the Torah. So that's going to be a whole other discussion. Kimos. Now he's going to give us examples. Kimos. So what are the midos that are found in the Torah that helps us with our social interactions in this world? Kimo va'avet tabi tanu ha'anek tanik lo mozne snedek avne snedek v'kama v'kama kiyotzevem. So all of these rules about interpersonal relationships that we read in Parshas Mishpatim as well as others, to be fair, to be, you know, to have fair weights and all the stuff. It's just bein adam ha'chaveiro, good stuff to behave nicely. It's all found in the Torah. So you need Torah to help teach you midos, and you need midos to help you teach you Torah. So we have to see what does that mean. Torah helps you with midos because in the Torah is laws that help us with midos. Well, so let's keep going. Im kein, finish off this paragraph. Below Torah, lo yed deos of shleimos b'derech eretz. Without Torah, your deos, your knowledge, your personality, your character, will not be shleimos. So what does shleimos mean?
Complete.
So notice again, he seems to be opening up some wiggle room here. You can have some Derech Eretz, but you're not going to have Shalem Derech Eretz without Torah. Now let's look at the inverse, and then maybe we could have a whole picture. Im ein Derech Eretz ein Torah, continuing in source number two, fourth line. Without Derech Eretz, there is no Torah. Rotzelomar, shetzarach tefila litaken es atzmo b'midos. Now he's telling us there's a developmental aspect here. First, what comes first? First, we have to work on our midos. Even though Torah is the source for midos and derech eretz, or at least a lot of the source for Torah and derech eretz, first we need to work on our midos before we even, seems like what he's saying, before we even learn Torah. Uvizat tishkon ha-Torah alav she'enena shochenes la'olam beguf she'eno bal midos togos. So when I prerequisite, we had a shiur on this a few months ago as well, prerequisite to learning. A prerequisite to learning is to have good midos. Because if I don't have good midos and I learn Torah, the Torah has nothing to take place on. It's going to go in one ear and out the other. It's not going to be able to, my body, my soul is not going to be able to capture that Torah. So I need midos first, then I learn Torah. The midos helps capture the Torah for me. Continuing now. Lo sheyilmo Torah va'achar kach yikach lo ha-mitzvos. Not that first we should learn Torah and then do these mitzvos, i.e. these interpersonal mitzvos that help build character. Ki e'efshar. It's impossible. It doesn't work. V'zehu ke'inyin shenemar na'aseh v'nishma k'mo shekasavnu. And he ties us into his understanding of what na'aseh v'nishma means, is that na'aseh, first you have to do a little bit, and then you can hear, you can listen to the rules, you can listen to the Torah. But you can't just start learning unless you have a background, a basis of good midos for that learning to start off with. So far we have two explanations. We have Torah and Derech Eretz as referring to learning / participating in doing Torah, and that connection to Parnassa and working. And the second one is totally different, has to do with midos and interpersonal relationships. Now, look at source number 3, the Me'iri. He's going to bring this out a little bit better, or a little bit more at least. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah Omer, Yimei Torah in Derech Eretz, Yaduahu, so it's known, middle of the first line, Shederech Eretz, Humunach al midos ha'adam, Umusar hatzarech lo, Be'inyan ha'anhaga ha'medinis, Va'atora namar, Inyana bikan, Al-chelek mitzvos ha'torah, Habala ha'yasher la'adam, V'derech yishera, V'hanagosa. So he says, it is known, right? He says, yadua. So it's interesting that yet known, Rashi didn't know it, right? Rashi assumed this is not what it means. But either way, according to the Me'iri, it's known that derech eretz means midos. Things I need to do in hahanhaga hamedinas, social world, interpersonal relationships. That's what derech eretz is. So what's Torah? Notice he has a very limiting definition of what Torah is here. Torah is chelek mitzvos ha-Torah, only part of the Torah. Mitzvos ha-Torah haba lahayasher la'adam v'derech yishara banagosa. It's the part of Torah that helps us with midos, right? So Derech Eretz is social etiquette, maybe you want to call it. And Torah here, in its limited sense, is referring to laws that deal with perfecting my character. V'amar tchila, end of the second line, now beginning the third line. So first, it says, shelulei mitzvos ha-Torah, without the laws and the rules of the Torah, v'hem shichuas v'hamishchos ha-adam al-zeh. Lo hayalo shlemos v'derech eretz. Without the Torah, you will not get, again, that's the same word, now it's already repeating itself in a different commentator, you will not get shlemos of derech eretz, habalo mitzad atzmo v'hanhagas tivo. That comes through, how would you explain mitzad atzmo? Right, within conscience, right, some sort of internal guide, compass. The hanhagas tiba. What's your natural, empathy? Let's say. Va'afilu haya betachlis ha'achana ki lo yagia letachlis mashiyigiu ofanei haTorah b'zeh lemachzik b'drachecha. So you can get somewhere, but you can't be perfected. V'chein im ein la'adam hachana tivius b'zeh. If you don't have some sort of natural morality, lo yaspik lo mitzvah satorah l'zeh shlemos, then Torah is not going to fix everything. And Torah is not going to, if you're bad character, learning Torah is not going to automatically be, you know, like going to therapy. It doesn't work like that. Not that therapy always works either, right? But it's not just, okay, I'm going to learn, and now all of a sudden my character is going to be perfected. Ki mitzvos yashiru adam derech klal. Mitzvos generally help bring people to the right path. But generally, not always. V'yavshar lahem l'hashgiach b'pratim dakim mitzchadshim tamid srichim l'moser b'derech eretz. That's a very powerful statement. Mitzvos don't have the capability, they can't possibly be able to take care of every single detail that come up in our lives at every given point. For that, we need moser b'derech eretz. We need this morality. We need this character that doesn't necessarily only come from Torah. Kemo shetomar derech mashal, shatorah asra ma'achalim harbe, lios behem mutaros mitzios hezek, sharoi lahavi midracha, shekom mutar moser v'redifa soveya yaser hu ra. Right, so the Torah gives us a general, this is an example. The Torah gives us a general principle of dietary habits, right? What's the purpose of that? To help us be healthy. And that's his assumption, that the dietary laws of the Torah are for us to be healthy. But does keeping kosher mean that you're going to be healthy?
No,
because the Torah gives you a general guideline, a general rule, and you have every capability to distort that, stuff your face with kosher things, and still not be healthy. Right? So yes, you can't blame the Torah. I'm following the Torah. Yeah. But you're distorting, you're not following what the goal and the message of the Torah is. That's what the Musar is supposed to go in tandem with, to combine with the Torah ideas, to be able to apply it to your particular scenario. And then, again, the Shlemus, the perfection, comes from that. So we learned two things. Ha'echad, she'en l'shum adam l'vtoch b'shlemus hanagosav, haba mitzad tibo. So very powerful also. Nobody should be completely confident in their natural conscience, in that feeling of morality that we feel naturally. Shouldn't be completely confident. Don't not listen to it, but you shouldn't only put your trust in what feels right. And because it feels right, you're going to not follow a law of the Torah. So that you can't do. So what about the avos? Right? They didn't have Torah. How did they perfect themselves if that's not possible without Torah? So we might say, well, yeah, there's midrashim that say that they had Torah. But from a sort of shot perspective, we don't see that, yet they were able to perfect themselves. So he says here, Ela kol zochum l'kach. So it's possible, another exception, it's possible to perfect yourself without Torah, just having that ethical, you know, moral compass, but most people can't. So we need, for most of us, to combine it with some level of Torah. And that this is a running theme for what he's saying, is that psukim, concepts, ideas, my point, he's saying, is about most people. You can always find exceptions to the rule. And the second point here is, again, first point is don't trust your conscience completely. The second point is, sha'adam lo yatsa yidechovas atzmo b'nafsho b'kiyum pratei ha-mitzvos. You didn't perfect your character and the obligation that you have to do that through just following mitzvos. So you can't just say, look, I did everything you asked of me, God. I followed all the tariag mitzvos. I fit, you know, check it off the list. It's not going to work. It's not enough. Aval yavin davar mitoch davar v'yisbonein, ki ahara mida Torah, v'anazir mikol mida meguna, nichla b'cha mitzvos ha-Torah, l'mevinei darcheha, afa pishol huskra b'Torah, v'fir. So then he ends off with a fascinating ending. He says, at the end of the day, right? So let's build this up for a second, to understand the last line. Are we saying that there are two separate things? You have your Torah, which generally gives you some path to midos. Then you have your conscience, which will take you in generally the good path. But for most people, we need to combine those two together. So does that mean the Torah doesn't have that perfection? Does that mean that midos, the conscience, don't have that possibility for perfection? So we already told us that when it comes to the midos, there are exceptions, like the avos, who could get to perfection without Torah. Even though most people can't get to perfection without Torah, the avos are able to do it. So does that mean that the Torah, on the converse side, does that mean that the Torah doesn't have the ability to get us to perfection on its own?
No.
Right? So the answer is no. Why? Right? We just set up until this point. This is where the sort of like a twist ending, if you will, where it makes it more complicated. We just set up until this point that seems to be the case. That the Torah only gets you so far, and then your natural, again, morality, again, I know we're using big terms, but that natural conscience is going to keep you, to be able to get you to that shlemus. So are we saying that the Torah can't do it? And his answer in the end is, no, we're not saying that. Why? Because for people, let's read this last line again, niflal b'chlal mitzvos ha-Torah l'mevinei drachah. It's all in there if you fully get it. Even though it's not explicit, if you know how to delve in, we'll get to this in the end of the next paragraph, if you delve into Torah and you're able to analyze it from the right perspective, you'll be able to get that shlemos even from Torah. So Torah has the capability of shlemos, you just have to be able to see it in there. But from a normal perspective, and this is the message of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, is for most of us, most of the time, there has to be a connection, a pairing of these two things. Our natural drive, hopefully, to be good and do the right thing, needs to be combined with Torah, which generally drives us towards the right direction. And putting those two together gives us the capability of being shalem, of perfecting our character according to the Meir. Yes, and then yes. One second, Rosh. Right. So Ramban's, yeah. So we did that in the past. The Ramban talks about a similar point. I would be interested if we did a close read to see if there might be some nuanced differences. But the Ramban makes a general point that when it comes to Kedoshim Tiyu and Vasisa Tova Yashar, right? So he says that the Torah gives us general principles and can't possibly tell us all the details, and it's up to us to apply those details in our lives.
So he's.
The limitations are there, and the general principles are there, and the application is up to us. Yeah, so it's a similar idea. Yeah.
The problem is, the Torah has it, but
yeah.
We don't have it because we don't know the Torah. It takes us many years to know the whole Torah. After that, we say, oh, now I understand it.
Right.
But I'm 50 years old, 60 years old.
Right, so we don't see it. We don't see it necessarily, but correct. And again, when we do have, which is again the end of next, we'll analyze that in more depth. But notice, but there's a chiddush here, because if that's the case, if we don't see it in the Torah, it's, you know, I find this is a very powerful message. So then, where do I look to get that finishing touches? Right. If I don't see it all in the Torah, I look to my conscience. Right. To combine that with the Torah, never to violate the Torah, but be able to put those two together, that's what helps me perfect myself.
Yeah.
I am an
unlazy.
So for somebody who's sort of not quite a psychopath, but somebody whose moral compass is deficient, and somebody who was, like Shalomi just pointed out correctly, and like you, somebody who can't possibly know the Torah until they're much older, if you're at that point in your life, one is at that point in their lives, where they don't have a moral compass, they don't have the knowledge of the Torah. Are we saying, or are all of these people saying that you can't possibly have a righteous perspective on how to grow as a human being primarily? Is that we're saying that you need to form the same ability? So a person proficient in it and a person proficient in Torah, so they're out of luck. So the Torah,
guideline.
What were you saying? You're presenting it almost as like you have a surprise you, but why is that surprising? If you don't have a moral compass and you don't have a guiding system, then you're not out of luck. You just have to open up a book, right? I say that person will have that. The idea there. Let's say I don't have that moral compass. I'm still bound by Torah laws, right? If you're saying that person doesn't care about the Torah, okay. What do you want me to do about that?
And what I'm saying is then Torah law is really what we look primarily for law, because the person doesn't have it naturally.
Correct. We still have to follow the Torah rules. That person, though, if they don't have the moral compass inside, will probably not reach perfection of midos. Remember, you can still have some level of midos. You can have something, right? Your behavior could be contained and worked on. But if at the end of the day you don't have that inside, yes, you're still bound by Torah rules, but you won't reach that shleimus. Yeah, laser, and then Friday, and then we're going to move on. Yeah. They're saying that you look in the Torah, and you also look, according to the way the Meiri is explaining it, you have to look into your internals as well.
Yeah, so this man is that limited.
Right, what I'm disagreeing with you, I think, is going to be that you're seeming to say that there's a historical shift at some point. I'm saying that he seems to be saying this is just naturally the way we should be doing it, regardless of whether or not we know everything by heart or not. This is the way it should be done according to the Meiri's understanding of Rav Elazar ben Azariah. Yeah, Friday, and then we're going to keep going.
The Meiri has a supposition that everybody is selling their work, lives in the Shama, they have a conscience, and you start from there with color. It's not from the standpoint that someone is more amoral.
I don't think he's denying that, because remember, and he says it explicitly because he knows that we're all going to be bothered by this. What about this exception? What about that exception? He says we're talking about generally, right? The avos can find perfection without Torah, and there are, you know, your other flip side exception of people who can find amorality without, you know, without whatever, right? So there are people, there will be your psychopaths and your sociopaths and all, whatever, you know, who can't get that thing. They're still bound by Torah laws, but they're not gonna figure it out internally.
Right.
Okay, good. Now let us continue. Source number four. This might be a little bit out of order, but it fit over here on the page, so we might as well just do it before. I originally had a different source here, but we'll get there. So let's look at source number four. Im ein Torah ein derech eretz. So he says lav Torah. This is Paras Yisrael. Lav Torah mamish kama. So again, he's limiting our definition. Torah doesn't just mean Torah. Lav Torah mamish kamer. It doesn't literally mean what we generally mean as Torah. Dare kama umos ha'olam shelo lamdu. Now he brings the question straight up. There are lots of people, non-Jews, who have not learned. They don't learn Torah. I'm Aris, thank you. Yeah, I'm Aris, because he's... I'm Aris, sorry, yeah, sorry. The next one's Umos Olam. Shelo lamdu. Bekama chaside umos ha'olam shelo shamru ha'Torah. Yeah. Okay. So two classes of people. People who are Jewish but don't know a lot. They've never learned. And a lot of righteous people who don't keep Torah, not Jewish people. Va'afilu hachi hein bali moser v'derech eretz. Right, so you have lots of people who aren't religious, you have lots of people who are not Jewish, who don't have Torah, and they're ethical, they're moral. So how is that possible? If you're telling me that it means you have to have one and the other, it's just not factually true. Ella nearly, so rather it seems to me, Mishum de la kol uma yesh das eloki shekolav gimli kar. Now this is a fascinating statement. He's writing this in the 19th century. He says, each nation has a religion that has three ikarim to it. There are three essential aspects to each religion. Dahainu. Number one, Shiyesh Torah Mishamayim. Now obviously we don't see it this way. There are many, many more religions out there who don't believe in this. And now we have, you know, secular people who don't have any religion and they still, and the question is still there, right? But he's assuming his answer to the problem of people who are ethical and moral and don't follow Torah is that at the end of the day, they still have some level of religious system. So number one, what do all religions have in common according to him? Number one, Torah Mishamayim. That Torah is from the heaven. Bet, Shiyesh Schar Ba'onesh, is reward and punishment. And three, Shiyesh Hasharat HaNefesh. So the Nefesh has, is everlasting. Below Nechlaku Ha'umos Zemi Zerach Beferusha. Then he says, and the nations don't even argue that much except for the details about how these things play out. Again, fascinating statement. Ve'elu Shlosha Ikarim HaRatios Nikroin Kan Torah. And that's what it means by Torah. These three principles, Torah Min HaShemayim, reward and punishment, and nefesh, everlasting. V'lachein, mi she'eino ma'amin b'hen, harei ha'adam kebehema l'fanav, ve'ein ha'nefesh chashuba be'einav l'nhob ba'yakar v'musar v'derech eretz ki musei am ba'am. So if, now he acknowledges that if you don't have one of these, if you don't have these three principles, then you have no shot. Right? Then you're like an animal. Because you don't care about your nephew, you don't care about your soul. What do you care about ethical and moral principles? Your soul, you're going to die anyway, and your soul is going to dissipate into nothingness. So why do you care? Let's assume all. I'm not sure it matters. V'chol ma shiyase b'zeh hu mitzad hefer. Right. So now he continues. So that's his number one. So again, we don't see it this way either, because we have people who don't believe in any religion who are still ethical and moral. And our question is, so how are they ethical and moral? He doesn't have an answer to that. So now, next part. What's the inverse? Im ein derech eretz ein Torah, dim ein anefesh chashuva ve'einav linhog bayakar. Right. Again, if I don't care about my soul, if I don't care about treating it nicely. Eich esher shi'amim v'gimel shar she'adat. Then I'm not going to believe in these three principles either. Rak mishum sha nefesh yikara. These three principles matter only if I care about my soul. Zeh haklal, this is the principle. Achuzin yachad, they all go together. B'misha ein zeh, without the soul aspect, you're not going to have these three principle concepts. O nira li, the Torah highness. Now he gives you another explanation. That's his first explanation. Second explanation, O nearly, the Torah hainu chiyuvav l'makom baruch hu. It's our obligations to God. The lo hainu yodim b'men nektam l'fanav, im lo Torah hakadosha, Torah lanu achukim hakadosha mahem, v'derech eretz, hainu chiyuvav l'adam chaveiro. So the second explanation is more in line with what we've been talking about, is that Torah is laws, the bein adam l'makom laws, and derech eretz is, no, excuse me, Torah is ben adam l'makom, right? Nearly that Torah hainu chiyuvav l'makom baruch hu. Torah here is talking about mitzvot ben adam l'makom. Derech eretz hainu chiyuvenu l'adam chaveirenu is ben adam l'chaveiro. The Ka'amr, that was a totally different explanation, right? Now this mitzvah is not talking about religion. It's just talking about ben adam l'makom, ben adam l'chaveiro. Ka'amr hacha demishu apikoras kofar b'torah mishamayim. If you don't believe in Torah min hashamayim, meaning you don't have your ben adam l'makom, Gam shmirasa v'chiyuvoso v'chiyuvov l'bnei adam eino v'leiv shalim. Then your ben adam l'chaveiro is not going to be, again, complete. V'kol kach mishu tzavua v'yer shamayim v'eino nizar v'chiyuvov. So you can't have one without the other completely. You need ben adam l'makom, you need ben adam l'chaveiro. Notice that this is a lot lower stakes definition than his first definition. And his first definition just leads to a ton of problems. Because he tried to solve the problem of saying, what about people who are, you know, not frum and still ethical, by saying, oh, at least they believe in something. That doesn't solve our problem, because we have people nowadays who don't, that doesn't exist. So that where that, that's not true. So that's the problem with making blanket statements, right? His first explanation is a blanket statement. You make a blanket statement, now you have no explanatory power to explain exceptions to the rule. In his second explanation, it's not a blanket statement. Right, he gives us those qualifiers, like the Meiri gave us. It's eino b'leiv shalem. You can't do it perfectly. Once you start talking about doing it perfectly or not doing it perfectly, the stakes are lowered down a little bit, right? You're on easier ground to explain things. Because there are always exceptions. Okay, there's an exception to the rule. But this is for most of the time. To get this, this is what you need to do. Once you start making black and white, you're gonna run into trouble. Yeah. But he doesn't mean perfect as everything you're going to do is perfect. He means very elevated, almost perfect state. Okay, yeah. That's part of what we're... That's part of the question. Right? That's part of the question. Right, but that's... I hear what you're saying, but that's not so easy in the explanation. Once you're talking about... Once you're including non-Jews, as he does in his first explanation, and he's saying that you could be ethical and moral and a nice person, that's how we're defining Derech Eretz. You're trying to redefine Derech Eretz. But Derech Eretz means Derech Eretz of Torah. That's not what they're doing here. They're saying Derech Eretz is isolated. Derech Eretz is separate. Derech Eretz is behaving nicely. And you could be non-Jewish or Jewish without following the Torah and be good. You
can. Connecting it to the Torah? I say it cannot be Torah without the Torah. Cannot be the Torah without the Torah.
You could, but that's not in source number four. He's not. Others might be in source number four. He's not. And the answer is that you could have. Again, we'll talk about it after. But it's sort of the background to everything we're talking about. And the answer is that we could, in theory, be talking about non-Jews. It just complicates the discussion a little bit. Let's flip the page. Go to. Got caught up at the bottom. Source number five is all the way on top. What? No, not the Maharal. Rishol Lipschitz he writes the comment, the running commentary on the Mishnah. So flip the page. We have a Maharal coming up. Let's see. So let's see. We're gonna play some trios over here. I don't want to go over today. The source on the top is the Abarbanel. And he's going to raise similar questions, so we're going to skip that. If you want to read it on your own, feel free. Number 8 is also Abarbanel. So number 5, which you don't have, for some reason the top of the... It should say 5 Abarbanel, but it doesn't. It just says all the way on the top of the second side of the paper, on the second side, where it says the first word is Torah, and the second paragraph is of Amnam. Those are both paragraphs from the Abarbanel. Okay, so that should have been source number 5, but we're skipping that. Source number 6, I'm going to read a little bit because I just like how he phrases the questions, from Avram Farisol. He's an Italian rabbi from the 15th and 16th century. So he says as follows. So Ra'isi HaMishnah Zos Kasha Ma'od Me'avin Bedrachei. I thought about doing this first, but I didn't for various reasons, but you'll see why. So he says he's going to start building the question, and he's going to sort of like whirlwind us with why he doesn't think this Mishnah makes any sense at first glance. Right? So I don't understand this. I don't understand each part. Ad ki kimat yituba rabim lemor shehi bilti shomeres hatzedek. To the point where the Mishnah causes or leads people to say that I just don't believe in this. This is ridiculous. I don't get what you're saying. It's not factual. Behifuch mishpate. It's against what the normal ways of the world are. Shekvarainu bale Torah rechokim imidos. We see plenty of people who are holding in shas and poskim, they know all the Torah, and they don't have good midos. The anshe midos, the derech eretz, mibli Torah. And we see people who have great midos, and they don't know a word of Torah. V'chein ish arum v'chacham, mibli Torah. And then we also find people who are very smart, and they don't know Torah either. So smartness isn't related to Torah, and that's good. He's referencing later part of the Mishnah, is ein chachma, ein yira, etc. So the v'chein v'hepeh. Because that ish yeshlo kemach umamon rav b'li Torah. Now he's remember we did the rest of the Mishnah, even though we weren't focusing on it. Ain kemach, ain Torah. So he says here, I see lots of people, yeshlo kemach umamon rav, very wealthy people, but they don't learn Torah. Gigantic houses, billionaires, no sfarim in there, right? Every room has, this room is 15 different bedrooms, no sfarim. library, tear the ceiling, no Torah. How do they have money? You said ain't kemach in Torah. Doesn't make any sense. Uvehepech, he's about Torah. The chaser left on the kemach elo. And you see lots of people who don't have Torah who don't have a penny. Akira isi sichsuchim rabin beberish mosa haniskarim. I've seen so many people, he says, who totally misinterpret this Mishnah. Kigon ludas mahu Torah. What does Torah mean? The derech eretz. What does derech eretz mean? What does chachma mean? What does beira mean? What does das mean? What does bina mean? What does kemach mean? B'torah od yavo yavo shekvar yu miksatam yachdav lachazim kimishpat shemot nerdafim. You have all these words, and if you go throughout Chazal, we use these synonyms, we use these words, we don't operationally define them. We just throw words out there, we think we know what we're talking about, but we don't really know what we're talking about. And Maya Abdel, Asher Bein Torah L'Chachma. Right? Did we stop to think? Use the word Torah, and the next line use the word Chachma. What is that? What's the difference? Uvein Chachma V'Das. What's the difference between Chachma and Das? And Bina. Shetan Shem Yachtav Sibel Acheres. How are all these interconnected? V'achar she'tashuvena ha'sibol si'os mesubav u'ma'u das u'ma'u bina. Right, so what are all these things? What are we talking about? Right? So now, he's going to give us an answer. Let's go to, skip a few lines. It's not key. If you read key, we start with key, we'll see where it gets us. See, key, his kamtili broach mikol mishakadmani b'zeh. I want to have nothing to do with anybody who interpreted this before me, right? I'm just staying far away from what anybody ever said about this because of all the confusion that they had in their interpretation. And he's going to name names, right? Ubeprat midivrei ha'adon haram, the Rambam beber ha'mishnah hazot. I'm going to say far away from the Rambam and his interpretation. So Amar heyosa davar hazeh inyan philosophi dakmod. The Rambam gives this very nuanced philosophical answer. Vegam besifra amaylos morat tzedek, and even in Mor Nebuchim besofu bechelak gimel asher hipli davar keset divrei emes b'shemo te'ela. He starts interpreting what all these things mean in Mor Nebuchim. Rak efsharim b'pshat pashut. Rak, I'm going to explain. Forget about the Rambam. Forget about everybody else. I am going to explain this. I have the answer. Shot puzzle. I feel like I'm being right. I think I'm embellishing it a little bit. He's writing this with calmly. I'm embellishing it a little bit. Right. Miblisha chavin the daktik ulahavi kavana sachashuvim aramim asher kadmoni. Right. And actually, this is an interesting broader question, which I don't think we've addressed directly, as to when we talk about midos. And then, you read some stories in the Gemara where these rabbis are killing each other in the Beis Medrash, right? They're calling each other's names, they're making fun of each other, they're insulting each other. So we have to understand that. But still, this needs to be understood. And there are explanations, so maybe we'll get there at some point. But Shara Isi Divreim Atovim Atzrichim La'arichus V'amar Ki Atana Azeh Hodiyah Hine Eila Ata'arim Shehem Hechrachim L'Shleimos Ha'adam. So the Mishnah, the Tana, the person who's writing, Shlomo ben Azariah, is telling us things that we need for perfection, essential for perfection. The shiksasam niksharim zeim zeh, some of them are connected to each other. The sibas kiyum zeh bezeh, and some are necessary in order for the other to take place. Ba'av ki yimsa echa mehem ba'im v'sheni nedar mimenu, even though sometimes you see that you could have one without the other. Mikomakom ko echamam yoel lekiyum asheni. So yes, you can have one without the other, but still one will help you have the other better. V'lifamim yikdam echamam v'siba lechaberu. Sometimes one is going to come before the other. O yisacher elav, or it's going to come after the other. V'amar shim ein Torah etzal ishi hi amistaras baila v'chol ashlemos. If you don't have Torah, which gives the possibility of shlemos, lo yebo derech eretz b'midos b'shlemos. You're not going to have derech eretz in midos completely. Ya'an ki ha-Torah tishalem ha-shiyachta l'chasri ha-Torah. The Torah will complete what you have. V'chein im ein derech eretz nimsa b'hachon ha-tivis etzal ish. If you don't have this natural derech eretz, the natural morality, ein Torah mitzuya bo, Torah is not going to be there. Because the Torah, without Torah, you can't perfect your character. She ain't ito derech eretz. I'm not sure what he's saying differently than everybody else, and I'm not sure he read the Meiri because it sounds very much like, you know, some aspects of the Meiri. But he's basically saying that without Torah doesn't mean completely everything all the time. There are exceptions, and this could lead to that, and that could lead to the other, and there's a symbiotic relationship, and depending on the case, right? It didn't really add too much. Again, he didn't like the Rambam's explanation, but I just thought it was a very, very personal reading into his character a little bit, into how he framed it. I thought it was worthwhile, especially because we haven't really done that much from him, at least inside. I'm going to spend a minute just doing one last point. Look at, I wanted to do source number 8, but it got cut off, so we're just going to skip it. Go to the left-hand column, same page, don't move the page, where it's boxed off, source number 7, this is the Maharal. And the last thing that I want to do is to move away from analyzing Ein Torah, Ein Derech Eretz, and just talk about the connection between this Mishnah and previous Mishnayos. Okay? So remember, the previous Mishnayos were Rabbi Akiva. The whole Perek is talking, according to the Barbanel, at least, about fear of sin, which is what source number 8 was going to be. Again, maybe we'll do that next week. So let's look how the Maharal deals with how all of this fits together. Source number 7. B'yesh l'farish mipnei she'amar l'mayla, Rabbi Akiva, schok v'kalos rosh magilin adam la'erba. So one of the first things Rabbi Akiva told us a few weeks ago was that laughter and lightheadedness lead people to sin. V'ratza lomar shemin hara nimshach hara. So the Maharal's understanding of Rabbi Akiva's statement of schok v'kalos rosh magilin la'erba is that bad things lead to bad things. L'fichach, samach acharav divrei Belazar ben Azariah. So Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah now is coming after that point to tell us, shehahefech hu gam kein. The opposite is also true. Ki im ein Torah, ein derech eretz, im ein derech eretz, ein Torah, v'chein im ein chachma, etc. V'chol zeh ki min hatov, nimshach hatov. Good things lead to good things. Right? So it's not just that bad leads to bad. Good things also lead to good. You get that momentum going from Chachma to Torah to Derech Eretz to Bina, etc. Now, so good things lead to good things that are similar. Just like bad leads to bad. Laughter and lightheadedness lead to lewdness, sins, v'davros emitzad ha'hizdamus asher b'neim k'moshe hizbaretz, because they're similar in nature. K'moshe ha'schok v'kalos rosh ha'erba mizdamim mizyachsim v'meshehim dvarim ra'im, just like schok v'kalos rosh are similar to each other, so they sort of domino effect can lead to each other. L'chach nimshach zeh achar zeh, that's why they lead to each other. V'chein ba'atmo ha'torah v'derech eretz him dvarim tovim. Torah and Derech Eretz are related to each other, and because they're related conceptually to each other, they can lead to each other. About Kvar Amarnu She'ein Tzarech L'zeh. Right, so now, so he just gave you an explanation, which is thematically why this is connected to the previous Mishnah. What's another reason why this could be connected to the previous Mishnah, besides for in themes? Why would a Mishnah be connected to a previous Mishnah besides for thematically? Same time period, right? So he says, "Avakvar Amar Nushain Sarchus." You don't even need to connect it thematically. Which I'm happy he says this because honestly, I like his idea of the theme that good things lead to good things. That's what the Mishnah is talking about. The Mishnah is not the Mishnah. You don't get that. That's not like your initial impression of the Mishnah. That Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah heard Rabbi Akiva say, "Schok v'kalos rosh magilin la'erba," and now he wants to show that that's not just about bad things. That's about good things too. So he says, "Imein derech eretz ein Torah, ein Torah ein derech." What? What? That's a little far fetched. So he says, you don't even need that explanation, right? So delete it. Rak mipnei Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah hayah b'dor acher echad im Rabbi Akiva. They lived in the same time period. That's why it comes afterwards. K'moshe amarnu, amaru pamim harbe. K'sher yu b'dor echad, seder dvarim zachar zeh. If people are in the same generation, then we put things together. U'lachach seder dvarim b'lishmol, v'rbi akiva, v'lachach b'nazariah, dvarim zachar zeh. All these people lived at the same time period. So that's why all of these are together. So just to close out for today and to get us ready for next week, so we have our relationship between Torah and Derech Eretz. According to Rashi, it's very simple, right? You need money, and you need to work, and you need to learn. Those two things go together. But nobody follows like Rashi. Right? Everybody else says we're talking about Mido. As we go further, we'll have to analyze why didn't anybody say like Rashi, and there is a reason, I believe, why that's true. But as we go further, we're going to have to see similar explanations that are going to come up for each one of these. The analysis is going to be similar. Does this mean always? Does it mean sometimes? Does it mean, right? What's the relationship between these statements of ain this, ain that, and then the inverse, ain that, ain this? Right? So we're going to go through it. Still got to do Chachma and Yira. Keep in mind, we don't know what Chachma means. We don't know what Yira means. We don't know what Bina means. We don't know what Das means. We don't know what Kemach means. We don't know what Torah means. We don't, because Rabbi Avraham Sarasol said, we throw out these words all the time. We don't know where Belazar ben Azariah meant when he said these things. So we have to try to analyze it, and then the message is going to be different. Main takeaway point is try to have good meetings. Yeah. And learn Torah.